and it's 8 1/2 after 6 on this Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show. And for that, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, May corn was down 3/4 to 358 1/4. July corn was down 3/4 as well to 367. And September corn was down 1 to 375. Moving on to soybeans, May beans were down 9 cents to 879. July beans were down 9 1/4 to 892 1/2. And August beans were down 9 cents to 898 1/2. On to wheat for May, that was up 2 cents to 447. July wheat was up 1 3/4 to 450 1/4, and September wheat was up a half cent to 457. Soybean meal for May was down $2.60 to 303.90. July bean meal was down 2.50 to 307.60, and August bean meal was down $2.60 to 308.80. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 26 cents to 28.46. July bean oil was down 24 cents to 28.78, and August bean oil was down 23 cents to 28.94. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Wednesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Wednesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois grain prices were mostly lower on Wednesday afternoon. Fenn selling weighed on row crop values today at the Chicago Board of Trade. In northwest Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at 316 to 347. Soybean bids were down 5 to 9 cents at 787 to 833. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny lower at 330 to 346. Soybean bids were down 9 cents at 819 to 841. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at 327 to 358. Soybean bids were down 8 cents at 820 to 851. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 9 to 11 lower at 844 to 859. Basis was steady to down 2 at 3500 to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 285.90 to 293.90 a ton, down $2.60 a ton with basis unchanged at 1800 to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady to a penny lower at 343 to 363. Will best just steady to up one at 1500 to 5 over the May. Illinois River Barge loading elevators coated to producer corn bids mixed at 351 to 357. Will basis steady to up one at 700 to 1 under the May. Soybeans ended down 9 cents at 838 to 844. Will basis unchanged at 4100 to 35 under the May. New crop wheat prices are up 2 cents at 420 to 440. Will basis steady at 3000 to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge flowing terminal levees place their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher, 374 to 375. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 8 to 9 cents, quotations at 863 to 867. Soft wheat closed up 2 cents at 479 to 484, and Milo ended the day down a penny at 375 to 376. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 331 to 357. Soybeans at 827 to 857. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 344 to 358. Soybeans at 847 to 869. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 321 to 362. Soybeans at 840 to 871. And June, July wheat at 421 to 454. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle were down 22 cents to 126.92, June live cattle were down 7 cents to 122.37, and August live cattle were up 22 cents to 119.55. Feeder cattle for April were down 35 cents to 145.32, May feeders were down 60 cents to 150.60, and August feeder cattle were up 25 cents rather to 160.45. Finally, lean hogs for May were down a nickel to 88.92, June lean hogs were down a dollar to 96.12, and July lean hogs were down 55 cents to $100.62 a head. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield once more this morning for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting at the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 20 cents lower, in a range of $70 to $80, with a weighted average carcass price of $77.18. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were firm, with good demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 40 to 44, 4 to 5 weight at 43 to 47, 5 to 6 weight at 45 to 50, and over 600 pounds, $48 to $53. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels of Gilch Country pints were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $48 to $56. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled 20,380. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 125 to 127.50. And on a dress basis at 201 to 205. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 126 to 127.50. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 263 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $87, which is 47 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Pork Value Association, beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $232.76, which is 71 cents higher, while select carcasses are $220.16, which is 99 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 120,000 last week and 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 477,000 compared to 476,000 last week and 460,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Thursday morning. Part two of the Morning Ag Show is next. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the Litchfield National Bank. And by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Starting off in national news for this Thursday morning, U.S. Agriculture says the European Union can't exclude ag from a trade deal with the U.S., even though they want to. The EU says in its mandate for a trade deal with the United States, no agriculture. The American Farm Bureau says, no way. AFBF trade advisor Dave Salmonson.
Well, we've long wanted the EU to make changes, and we still do. So if we ever come back to a talks, we'll want them to make those changes again. That hasn't moved for us.
But the EU refuses to change its food standards or accept more competition from the United States.
There are restrictions on our meat sales. Their use of geographic indicators, which can restrict our sales of dairy products and meat products into the EU.
And there are other outstanding issues.
We've started this off with the EU with the tariffs on steel and aluminum. The EU has retaliated on many U.S. products, putting 25% tariffs on many things, including several ag products.
Earlier, the talks with the EU reached a stalemate over agriculture. U.S. Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley says any deal that excludes agriculture would be unlikely to pass Congress. While it seems the rain will never stop here in the Midwest, that's a different story for states out west. President Donald Trump this week signed a drought contingency plan for the Colorado River. Supported by all 14 senators in impacted states, the Colorado River Drought Contingency Plan Authorization Act implements a water-sharing agreement between Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, California, New Mexico, and Nevada. The plan was approved on a voice vote in the U.S. House and was considered approved and sent directly to the White House by the Senate. The agreement establishes new water conservation measures to protect reservoir levels at Lake Mead and Lake Powell, using voluntary water restrictions and management strategies to avoid historic lows in the Colorado River reservoirs, which would trigger dramatic water delivery cuts. The U.S. Department of Interior notes that since 2000, the Colorado River Basin has experienced historic drought and dry conditions. Currently, the combined storage in Lake Powell and Lake Mead are at their lowest levels since Lake Powell initially began filling in the early 1960s. In other national ag news, according to the 2017 Census of Agriculture, the total number of U.S. farms fell 3.2%, while the average farm size increased 1.6% since 2012. Michael Naveau, American Farm Bureau Federation economist, says the new data also shows farmers are getting older.
The average age of that principal operator continues to increase. The 2012 census reported that to be 58.3 years. For the 2017 census, that increased to 59.4 years for that average.
The 2017 census reported a 30% increase in the number of female farmers and an increase in younger farmers. However, Naveau says that's partially because the USDA has changed how that data is reported.
In the past, they tended to focus on just the principal operator, whereas now they expanded that to include other decision makers. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we have 30% more women farming than we did, say, 5 years ago. Also, you saw an increase in the number of younger farmers as a result of this. This is due to those intergenerational farms where you have the parents and children operating as business partners on the farm.
Naveau says the 2017 census also shows changes in farming practices, as farmers are implementing more environmentally friendly production practices.
For the 2012 census, conventional tillage was the largest category, but in the new census that came out, no-till agriculture rose to the top, followed by conservational tillage, and then that conventional tillage was actually the lowest category.
Again, that's AFBF economist Michael Naveau. The adoption of cover crops as a key soil health practice continues at a rapid rate throughout the country, according to new data from the 2017 Census of Agriculture. The Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program says new data shows cover crops were planted on 15.4 million acres in 2017, up 50% over 5 years. Iowa led the way with a 156% increase during that period, and a number of other states also more than doubled their cover crop acreage, including Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, Mississippi, Nebraska, Vermont, and Arizona. Dr. Rob Myers of the organization says the growth in cover crop acreage is providing major dividends in soil health and conservation. He calls the need for cover crops for soil protection paramount, as our whole food system depends on having healthy soils. The Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program has funded nearly 1,000 research and education projects on cover crops in the 30 years since it was first funded by the Department of Agriculture. In regional ag news, Missouri farmers are seeking to block a transmission line that would be constructed across the state on roughly 500 different farms. The Grain Belt Express received approval by the Missouri Public Service Commission last month. However, farmers and rural communities are upset because the state will allow a private company to use eminent domain to procure land for the transmission lines. Farmers rallied at the state capitol this week in support of legislation that would bar private entities from using eminent domain for overhead transmission lines, citing personal property rights. However, opposition to the measure claims it's an attack on green energy, as the state allows eminent domain for oil pipelines and other projects. Supporters of the transmission line say it will provide an economic benefit to rural communities. The Grain Belt Express transmission line, owned by Clean Line Energy, would transmit electricity from wind farms in Kansas through Missouri and Illinois. Clean Line Energy is owned by Invenergy, a private energy investment company. With the wet weather in the local area, it may be too soon to say what corn diseases we'll see this year. Michael Clemens has more with Syngenta.
There is a fungicide available that works hard to control the most common corn diseases. Kyle Mott, a retailer with Mott Farm Services Incorporated in Union, Indiana, saw several diseases in his customers' cornfields last year. He went with Trivapro fungicide and saw great results.
What I've seen from Trivapro in 2018 was unparalleled level of control of northern corn leaf blight and gray leaf spot. in comparison to the competitive products in the marketplace and the untreated checks.
To learn more about how TrivaPro fungicide can protect your corn, contact your local Syngenta sales representative or visit notafraidtowork.com. Always read and follow label instructions. Michael Clements reporting.
Moving on to state and local news, more moisture is on the way for most of the state this week. Meteorologist Eric Schmidt is with EJS Weather in Newton.
It does look fairly widespread. I mean, it's a frontal boundary gradually moving across. Mostly Wednesday night into Thursday, showers and some storms. Right now, all of the severe weather kind of looks to stay to mostly to our west and south of Illinois at this point. We'll have to monitor that. But it does look like, it'll be a fair amount of rain across most of the state again, and then kind of dries out after that as we head toward the weekend. And then maybe you have to watch another frontal system as we get into early next week. Next one right now looks Monday into Tuesday. That one at the moment doesn't look as wet as this one coming here in a few days. But, again, just have to monitor that. And then past that, the long-range models kind of indicate maybe a bit of a drier stretch for much of the rest of next week. But then maybe another wet system in the last weekend in April. So it's just kind of we're in one of these patterns where it is coming about every few days, and sometimes that's just how spring is.
Temperatures are expected to slightly be cooler than average for the remainder of the spring. In an effort to expand the availability of fresh, locally grown produce and strengthen the competitiveness of the state's specialty crop industry, the Illinois Department of Agriculture plans to distribute more than $711,000 over a three-year period thanks to funding allocated in the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program in the Federal Farm Bill. Applications for grant funding are available on the Illinois Department of Agriculture website and must be returned to the department by close of business by next Friday, April 26th. To be eligible for funding, all projects must begin in the calendar year of 2020. In the first year, the IDOA will distribute roughly $237,000, with a similar amount distributed for selected projects in 2021 and 2022. There are over 3,600 established specialty crop farms in Illinois, which devote more than 85,000 acres of farmland and produce nearly $500 million in sales for Illinois farmers. To encourage further expansion of this industry and to take full advantage of the allocated federal funds, the Department of Ag invites the development of projects pertaining to issues affecting the specialty crop industry. Projects that benefit a particular commercial product or provide a profit to a single organization, institution, or individual are ineligible. Farmers markets, roadside stands, and community-sponsored ag programs should consider submitting proposals to the USDA's Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program. The USDA Agricultural Marketing Service defines specialty crops as fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, and horticulture, as well as nursery crops, including floriculture. Illinois is the nation's leading producer of pumpkins and horseradish, while our state ranks in the top 10 in acreage of cantaloupes, green peas, lima beans, and sweet corn. Requests for proposal packets and additional information about the program can be found online at the Department of Agriculture's website. Again, applications must be submitted to the Illinois Department of Agriculture no later than close of business of next Friday, April the 26th. For this Thursday morning, April 18th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.